ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, The Renunciation of Kardama Muni, Text number 35. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maya Proktam Hi Lokasya, Pramanam Satya Lokike, Atha Jani Maya Tobhyam, Yadavochamitam Mune, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maya Proktam Hi Lokasya, Pramanam Satya Lokike, Atha Jani Maya Tobhyam, Yadavochamitam Mune, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maya Proktam Hi Lokasya, Pramanam Satya Lokike, Atha Jani Maya Tobhyam, Yadavochamrita Mune. Word for translation. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Maya, by me, proktam, spoken, he, in fact, lokasya, for the people, pramanam, authority, satya, spoken in scripture, lokike, and in ordinary speech. Atta, therefore, Ajani, there was birth. Maya, by me. Tobhyam, to you. Yat, that which. Avocham, I said. Ritam, true. Mune, O sage. Translation and purpose by His Divine Grace. The Personality of Godhead Kapila said, whatever I speak, whether directly or in the scripture, is authoritative in all respects for the people of the world. O Muni, because I told you before that I would become your son, I have descended to fulfill this truth. Purport. Kardama Muni was to leave his family life to completely engage in the service of the Lord. But since he knew that the Lord himself as Kapila had taken birth in his home as his own son, why was he preparing to leave home to search out self-realization or God-realization? God himself was present in his home. Why should he leave home? Such a question may certainly arise. But here it is said that whatever is spoken in the Vedas and whatever is practiced in accordance with the injunctions of the Vedas is to be accepted as authoritative in society. Vedic authority says that a householder must leave home after his 50th year. Pancha Sodham Vanam Vrajet. One must leave his family life and enter the forest after the age of 50. This is an authoritative statement of the Vedas, based on the division of social life into four departments of activity, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. Kardama Muni practiced yoga very rigidly as a brahmachari before his marriage, and he became so powerful and attained so much mystic power that his father, Brahma, ordered him to marry and beget children as a householder. Kardama Muni did that also. He begot 9 good daughters and 1 son. Kapila Muni, and thus, he begot 9 good daughters and 1 son, Kapila Muni. And thus his householder duty was also performed nicely. And now his duty was to leave. Even though he had the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his son, he had to respect the authority of the Vedas. This is a very important lesson. Even if one has God in his home as his son, one should still follow the Vedic injunctions. It is stated, Mahajano yena gata sapantaha. One should traverse the path which is followed by great personalities. Kadama Muni's example is very instructive, for in spite of having the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his son, he left home just to obey the authority of Vedic injunction. Kadama Muni states here the main purpose of his leaving home. While traveling all over the world as a mendicant, he would always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart and thereby be freed from all the anxieties of material existence. In this age of Kali Yuga, sannyas is prohibited because persons in this age are all shudras and cannot follow the rules and regulations of sannyas life. It is very commonly found that so-called sannyasis are addicted to nonsense, even to having private relationships with women. This is the abominable situation in this age. Although they dress themselves as sannyasis, they still cannot free themselves from the four principles of sinful life, namely illicit sex life, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Since they are not freed from these four principles, they are cheating the public by posing as swamis. In Kali Yuga, the injunction is that no one should accept sannyas. Of course, those who actually follow the rules and regulations must take sannyas. Generally, however, people are unable to accept sannyas life, and therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stressed, Kalo nastevana stevana si eva gatiya anyata. In this age, there is no other alternative, no other alternative, no other alternative than to chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Although it's Prabhupada this time, it's just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. The main purpose of sannyas life is to be in constant companionship with the Supreme Lord, either by thinking of Him within the heart or hearing of Him through oral reception. In this age, hearing is more important than thinking, because one's thinking may be disturbed by mental agitation. But if one concentrates on hearing, he will be forced to associate with the sound vibration of Krishna. Krishna and the sound vibration, Krishna, are none different. So if one lovely vibrates Hare Krishna, he will be able to think of Krishna immediately. This process of chanting is the best process of self-realization in this age. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya preached it so nicely for the benefit of all humanity. Om Gyanatimalandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshumitam Yena Tasma Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mono Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swam Vipapadam Vayam Tadati Swaparantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Nangayate Girin Yakvipatam Aham Vande Shri Gurun Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpa Trivischa Kripa Sindhubya Evacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is the renunciation of Kardama Muni, and here Lord Kapila Dev is speaking. And as we remember, the purport also states that initially as a brahmachari, Kardama Muni was engaged in severe austerities right before he got the order or the instruction from Lord Brahma, his father and his spiritual teacher, that he should beget children. Furthermore, as well, he continued to perform austerities, and then he gradually continued with his responsibilities, which he performed very nicely, as explained, in family life. And then now coming to a point where responsibility is done, And by the blessings of authority, he would like to leave to go to the forest to further his self-realization. So, just in the beginning of this translation, Kapila Muni is explaining that whatever he's speaking, whether it's directly from the scripture, is authoritative in all respects, and it this is for everyone's benefit. It is not just particularly for Kadama Muni, for his specific situation, but it is for all of humanity. And we understand that as the ages progress, the consciousness of persons shrinks greatly, and therefore Krishna himself explains the reasons and the particular circumstances that he will descend to try to help humanity. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says, yada yada hi tamasya tlani bhavati bharata abhyutana madamasya taratmanam shinjami aham, that when there is a decline of religion, and then obviously simultaneously arises the need for the Lord to descend himself to reestablish the principles of religion. And this is a fact that the Lord maintains throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. So all what Kadama Muni is striving to do is in conjunction actually with the Vedic texts. It is not that Kadama Muni is manufacturing a process of exiting from family life. This is a bona fide process, and in this verse particularly, Srila Prabhupada speaks, or he mentions part of the verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, which I will repeat. Madhya Lila, chapter 17, text 186. Thakur patistha srutayo vibhina nasarishi yasya matam nabhinam dharmasya tadvam nihitam guyaham mahajanayena gatha sapantaha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, dry arguments are inconclusive. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. Simply by studying the Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. The solid truth of religious principles is hidden in the heart of an unadulterated, self-realized person. Consequently, or as the Shastras confirm, one should accept whatever progressive path the Mahajans advocate. So in this purport, Prabhupada also explains that one should traverse the path which is followed by great personalities. So Kadama Muni is also following the path of the great personalities that have also followed this system, which of course the Vanashram system or the social orders were so created by Krishna himself to gradually elevate persons from their material situation to taking complete shelter of Krishna. So the great Mahajans, the bona fide Mahajans that have been given in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, according to the Bhagavatam 6.3.20, most of us will know that verse, the 12 Mahajans, Lord Brahma, Narada, Shambhu, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Kapila Muni, Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Swayambhu Vamanu, Prahlad, Janak Maharaj, Bhishmadev, Bali, Shukadev, and Yamaraj. So these are the 12 Mahajans that are given. And of course, there are many others coming in our Sampradaya, including personalities like Madhavendra Puri, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and the associates. So by looking at these examples of the great Mahajans, devotees like Kadama Muni are performing their life following in their footsteps. So it is interesting that earlier on in this translation that I read, it says that simply by studying the Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. So sometimes, because there's different texts that have been written, when an individual who is full of defects. We all have four defects when we come into this material world. It becomes difficult for us to actually understand the purport or the real meaning of the text that we might read. Therefore, it is important that along with studying these literatures that have been given to us, that we follow in the footsteps of the person, Bhagavat, who is actually putting these into application. So it is important that we understand that we also, just like Kadama Muni, is following a bona fide system or process of self-realization. We also follow the same example. We do not concoct anything. We do not randomly decide, oh, I'm 35, I'm 45, or I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I'm going to sit and chant in a cave, or I'm going to stand upside down and chant Hare Krishna for the rest of my life, whatever it may be. That there are processes that have been given in the Shastra, and the lives of the great personalities are there for us to study and to follow, not to mimic or not to blindly accept, but to follow in the footsteps. So we adhere to the texts and we adhere to the examples as shown by the lives of these great acharyas. So in this this verse that I read, the context, of course, this is when the Lord is traveling to Vrindavan after he finishes. After coming from South India, the Lord travels to Vrindavan, passing through Prayag, Jarikanda forest, and he stays at the house of the Sanodhya Brahmana, who happens to be the disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya accepts him, although he's coming from a lower caste, and typically at that time it was very, very specific. The caste or the acceptance of a person from a lower caste was looked down upon by a certain group of persons or by a certain speculative Mayavadi philosophers. But we see Lord Chaitanya accepted this Sanodhya Brahmana because he was a direct disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who is a bona fide representative of one seeking to understand how to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have these persons are truly following the Gaudiya Sampradaya, and they're also great Mahajans in their own right. So we do not try to imitate or become an imitative spiritual master. We only try to emulate and absorb their message and try to live our lives under their direction. So here, Kadama Muni is not mentally speculating about the next step of his life. He's approaching Lord Brahma. He's speaking with the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself about leaving home to set the example that one at some point should detach themselves from their material responsibilities and focus on their relationship with Krishna. So I know many persons who might be 50 years old, they're not necessarily at the forest at this point, and they are devotees of Krishna. Now we might say, aren't they following the Vedic injunctions? Aren't they following the Vedic texts? It says 50, go, leave everything. But of course this, looking at the time, place and circumstance, we understand that, you know, in different ages, society was set up in a certain way. And in Kali Yuga, things are a little bit different. So, yes, this injunction is there that one must leave at 50. Looking at a different aspect, different degrees of looking into this explanation, that gradually as one gets older, one slowly detaches oneself from the material responsibilities and tries to really focus on this, on their spiritual advancement. So an example we see also with Prithu Maharaj, who was an empowered incarnation, a Saktivish incarnation of the Lord, who came right after the reign of King Vena, particularly as Krishna says to re-establish the principles of religion, because under Maharaj Baina things were a little bit topsy-turvy. So Prithu Maharaj came to stabilize, as an emperor, he came to stabilize the situation and make sure persons are peacefully materially and spiritually. And towards the end of his life, as he had done his duty, his service, he divided the kingdom and left different parts for his sons to rule and take responsibility. And he left for the forest. Now in the opening text, I think it's 6th canto, chapter... No, 4th canto, chapter 23, verses 1 to 4, we hear in the purpose Srila Prabhupada explaining how he performed this process. And in the same way, Srila Prabhupada is also quoting Mahajaneo Yunagata Sapantaha, that Prithu Maharaj is also following in the lines of the great personalities, how to gradually detach oneself and gradually attach one to Lord of Field Krishna. So Prithu Maharaj left alone with his wife. Right, so you might think he left alone with his wife. Alone with another person. So there's an explanation that when one becomes married, two become one, they are a unit. And because the wife of Prithu Maharaj was very qualified, she also left and went to the forest with Prithu Maharaj to also strive for perfection. And it is explained that society at that time was structured in such a way that there were particular forests, there were tapovanas, there were forests that were designated for austerity and penances for great personalities. So there'd be vast number of forests and you would see persons going there to try to perfect their lives. So this was the consciousness of society at that time. Nowadays, of course, we do not hear of such things. When people retire, it's not so much they go to forests in the material world. They might go to old age homes and retire there and spend the remainder of their lives in old age homes. But we see the advancement of society back then, that everything was structured to meet the spiritual needs. So there were designated forests for persons to go and attain perfection. Now when I read this, it was very inspiring to read that, wow, such places existed. Of course, in the Krishna consciousness movement, we have such places. We have wonderful temples and holy downs where we go to not only to enthuse and realign ourselves and refocus with the preaching mission, but it's also a place where when we're in our retired state, we can do service in these places. That is the point. So we might not necessarily have forests, but we have these holy temples that Srila Prabhupada had established. And his disciples, of course. So this is not a new thing to gradually detach oneself from the material duties and focus on Krishna. Even Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he says one must give up everything and surrender unto him. Many, many times Krishna mentions, just surrender unto me. I will protect you. You will not have to come to this material domain again. We try to give up our worldly affairs as much as possible and focus on Krishna. So this is instructive, and Kapila Muni is showing that example. Yes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared as my son. Nevertheless, showing an example that one must gradually detach oneself from the material, seemingly material situation. Of course, we understand the magnitude of these persons, Devahuti and Kapila Muni, but in the past time, to show us the example that we slowly try to strive to perfect our lives by detaching ourselves from our worldly affairs. It is a necessary point. So even we see the with the activities of Preeti Maharaj or the activities of Kadama Muni, they went through their different types of ashrams, they went through their vanaprastha ashrams, became fearless, which is one great trait or characteristic of the sannyas order of life. One becomes fearless and just takes full shelter of Krishna and surrenders to Krishna. And we know that fear is intrinsic to material existence. One is fearful of losing their body or losing their youth, losing their wealth or their opulence, their knowledge, their memory, etc. This is a problem of material existence. It is fear-driven. So when we become fearful, we're overcome by material anxieties. And this is how we're constantly subjugated by the material energy. We become fearful of losing our external identity. Now, when one gradually reawakens their dormant identity as a servant of Krishna, spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna, that fear subsides because one's veil of ignorance is lifted. One understands that I am eternal. I'm separate from this body. Where is the need for fear? Because we are not matter. No, it's not just a phrase that one throws around, but living your life in such a way that your dependence is on Krishna, is not on anything that is material, is not in a material system, whether it's capitalism or communism or socialism or your bank account or your spouse. Our shelter actually doesn't lie on these things. Our shelter lies in taking full shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And this includes Krishna's devotees. Taking shelter of Krishna's devotees, because they will always push us towards Krishna's lotus feet. It is not that we associate one of the aspects that we are encouraged in the nectar of instruction as a sign of intimacy and affection, is that we reveal our we associate with devotees in a way that we reveal our mind in confidence. We take association, we hear and chant together. So having the association of devotees means Krishna is also there. Because wherever devotees are, there should be topics about Krishna. And there should be. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita many times, what's the verse? Machit madgat prana bodhyantas parasparam katayantas tamamnicha tu santichara manticha. That his devotees take great delight and relish in discussing about him. That they inspire each other by talking, by having conversations about Krishna. Not that we come together and discuss everything else but Krishna. It can happen sometimes, I think. It is possible. But the more we have Krishna in the center of our lives, the less we actually become fearful of material existence. That fear factor is removed. So as much as we have, or as much as Kadama Muni has been very active in different parts of his life, whether as a brahmachari or a grihastha, he will continuously also be very proactive in his retirement life. Because retirement in Krishna consciousness does not mean that you just sit in a rocking chair all day, or you go fishing, or you stay in your boat or your house. It means now you have all the time to engage in serving Krishna in many, many different ways. So retirement doesn't mean you become docile and you do nothing. We're still active. So the example Kadama Muni is showing, and Preeti Maharaj have shown, that at the end of their life they are still active for Krishna. They are still actively hearing and chanting. And later on in this purport, Prabhupada also mentions that in Kali Yuga, because the qualities of persons have reduced greatly, persons should not take sannyas. No. The person who wrote these purports himself gave sannyas to his disciples. So Srila Prabhupada initiated his disciples, he empowered them. We understand that by ourselves, really, we are not that potent when we are in a conditioned state. But by associating with someone who is very, very powerful and in line with Krishna in a bona fide way, we also become powerful. Just as when you take a rod, you stick it in fire, it becomes fire. So these devotees were empowered by Srila Prabhupada and they were awarded the sannyas order of life, and grand disciples, of course, being awarded the sannyas order of life, and they developed these qualities of fearlessness and attachment to Krishna and preaching the glories of Krishna. So time, place, circumstance, Prabhupada himself gave sannyas to his disciples. And in contrast, the so-called sannyasis who do not follow the rules and regulations of that ashram, of course, give it a bad name. That's why there's so many strictures as to how one behaves in the different ashrams for protection and for the sanctity of the ashram. Nowadays, in the West, there's so many swamis. There's a swami for everything. Seriously, there is a swami for everything, whether it is for illicit activities, material activities, name it, there is a swami. There's someone who said they're a master of it. But we understand the meaning of Goswami is one who has controlled senses. So if a person is claiming to be a swami or to be in the renounced order of life, but they still have uncontrolled senses or connections, illicit connections with women, then it is very questionable. When such cases have happened where sannyasis in the modern world, in different schools of thought, have been very, very frivolous in connecting with the opposite sex, and that has led to their downfall, and seemingly their followers have lost faith in the color, in the saffron color, because of that. So whether they move on later in life, they do not have much faith because of these bogus sannyasis, who were sannyasis in name only, but not in action. So Prabhupada mentions, although they dress themselves as sannyasis, they still cannot free themselves from sinful life, namely illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Now these are the principles that all of us in this room live by. We take vows to follow these principles. So in one sense, we could say we're all sannyasis, right? We're all just trying to do that. However, in a humble state, Srila Prabhupada has somehow or the other given us these four principles that we all try to follow every day. And our strength to do that comes from chanting the holy name of the Lord, actually. If we're not chanting, if we're not getting a higher taste, we will slide down and develop taste for these lower tendencies. So, most persons are not in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada mentions. In Kali Yuga, most persons are Shudra, which means we do not have these virtuous qualities from birth. There was no Gavadan Samskara, etc. So we might be born with lower tendencies, lower qualities, but by a bona fide process, like the process of Krishna consciousness, we can develop qualities of a higher nature. And these qualities, coupled with chanting, or driven by chanting the holy name of the Lord, keep us sane in this world and keep us focused on the goal of life. Because there are many disturbances out there. Disturbances from within, disturbances from without. But when we stick to this chanting of Hare Krishna and practical devotional service, we are saved from sliding down into the lower species of life. So this process of chanting, as Prabhupada mentions, is the best process of self-realization in this age. the best process. There are many processes, but it is the best process. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya also preached it to all of humanity. Lord Chaitanya also showed by his example to always chant and dance, chant Hare Krishna, associate with devotees, reside in holy places, serve Krishna, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. So the entire system that we have is aimed at us always performing Nam Sankirtan. So whatever it is that we're doing actually is supported by chanting. When we worship the deity, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, when we're serving the Vaishnavas, or when we're going to the holy places, there's always chanting of Hare Krishna. When we're doing our service, there's always chanting of Hare Krishna. So in that way, our senses become purified, our consciousness becomes purified, and we're able to see ourselves as servants of Krishna. Therefore, the main purpose of our lives is to actually be in constant union with the Lord through the holy name. And as it is said, the name is none different from the Lord. So by chanting Nama Rupa Guna Lila, so from the name comes the form, the qualities and the pastime. So if we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra sincerely and attentively, gradually over time we will come to understand who we are, who Krishna is. So it is very, very important that we take this chanting very, very seriously, because this chanting is what gives us strength. The chanting of the holy name, hearing the sound vibration, and also serving Krishna. Because when we chant Hare Krishna, naturally you become inspired to serve. And as you serve, you become inspired to chant. So chanting Hare Krishna and performing service, these things are always going on side by side. So our actions are also there. So I'll read the verse again. The personality of Godhead, Kapila said, "Whatever I speak, whether directly or in the scriptures, is authoritative in all respects for the purpose of for the people of the world. O Muni, because I told you before that I would become your son, I have descended to fulfill this truth." So Krishna keeps his word. Many times he will say, if you follow this path, I will protect you. I will protect your bhakti. Although your physical, your material body will end, but your bhakti will be protected. You will come to me without fail if you sincerely practice and follow my instructions. So Krishna keeps his word. And here, he's also saying to Kadama Muni, I have descended to fulfill this truth. I told you in the beginning, after you performed your wonderful austerities, when I appeared to you, I explained that I will come into the womb of your wife. So Krishna keeps his word. And that's why he says, do not fear. I will protect you. So I'll stop there and ask if there's any comments or questions. Well, Kapila Muni particularly came to speak regarding the Sankhya Yoga system, understanding what is matter, what is spirit. Now, of course, that is all in relation to understanding who the source, the controller is, where it stems from. So, in essence, it is the same absolute truth being taught. But we might say, why are we hearing about Sankhya Yoga? Why not just hear directly about Bhagavan and his activities? But understanding the Lord's external potency, the external energy, is important for us to really put everything in perspective in terms of his tattva, his potencies, his multifarious potencies, and also in terms of his rasa. We understand, if someone claims to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how is it that they're maintaining the cosmos? What type of energies do they have? How do they manifest? Is it gross to subtle? Is it subtle to gross? How do they come about? What sustains them, etc.? These are all activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Kapila Dev, of course, he might be focusing on the Sankhya Yoga system, but simultaneously it is always in connection to its source. So it might be speaking of, later on we'll hear how he explains the Ashtanga Yoga system, explaining, you know, the yama, niyamas, the asanas, the pranayam, dharana, pratyahara, etc. But of course that's in relation to the samadhi. What is the samadhi? What are we trying, who are we trying to connect to, and why? So that Kapila Muni is focusing on. Lord Chaitanya, of course, he's trying to connect us to Krishna by showing his life, by using his life as an example. He came in the mood of the best devotee to show us how to also become devotees of Krishna. So the message is the same and might be packaged differently. Any other question or comment? I didn't mention it's Prabhupada mentioning. What age is it recommended to take sannyas? So, okay, here particularly, Prabhupada is speaking here, and the reference, of course, generally in Satya Yuga, that was the norm. Age 51 takes sannyas. And many persons, maybe not sometimes, not in our sampradaya particularly, but in other sampradayas, we see examples of persons taking sannyas, particularly at age 50, as I mentioned, when the society in this context was set up, it was a vanashram society. So everyone would go from, you know, being taught in Gurukul, taking brahmacharya, moving into grihastha ashram, vanapras, then taking sannyas. In such a system, it is set up. In Kali Yuga, it is very, very different. So hence, Prabhupada here is speaking in a particular context. Of course, as I mentioned, the principle behind it is that slowly one detaches themselves from their worldly affairs. It may be 50, it might be 60, it might be 55. But gradually one starts detaching themselves from their worldly affairs and focuses primarily just on Krishna. Because when you're in your grihastha role, responsibilities, there are many responsibilities. You have to make sure that, you know, your children are taken care of, they've grown up, the wife is all sorted, and then you gradually take to the vanaprastha ashram, do more service. You've done your part in the previous ashram. So it is a mature understanding of gradual detachment and attaching oneself to just primarily focus on one's service to Krishna. Not saying that in the grihastha ashram one was not serving Krishna, but there are other responsibilities that might have taken our time away from directly serving Krishna. So in Kali Yuga, yes, it is said that one should not take sannyas. And at the same time, Prabhupada would encourage his disciples to take sannyas, to take that responsibility. One side, we have heard, it was an emergency period. Prabhupada needed sannyasis to go out and preach, to inspire others, etc. Most of them are still sannyasis today. That potency, that shakti they got from Srila Prabhupada, the mercy from Lord Chaitanya, etc. So gradually, it might not be 50 per se for most of us or for some of us, but it is the principle of gradually start detaching yourself from family life. But that is done under guidance. It is not a haphazard decision, just one decides, in the morning, I'm taking sannyas. Right? It could be a disastrous situation. So it's all done in guidance. Even with great personalities like Kadama Muni, it's done in guidance, under guidance. Hope that helps. Oh, okay. There's different levels of sannyas. Right, there's four different levels. Kutichak, Bahudag, Parivrajakacharya, and Paramahamsa. So different levels. One, you're still staying at home, or the wife still takes care. Then gradually you stay away from home, but you're still being taken care of. And then Parivrajakacharya, you start traveling and preaching. Some stay in a solitary place in solitude and perform their sadhana, their bhajan. So there's there's four different stages of, four different types of sannyas. However, as we see with the example of Srila Prabhupada, his mission was to preach the glories of Krishna. So for us, it's not so much about staying in a forest or in a hut. It is more about going out and spreading the glories of Krishna. In some ages, yes, they would go, as it's mentioned, Prithu Maharaj, the time where he was ruling, there were tapovanas where people would go and retire in the forest, perform austerity, gradually detach themselves. So that was then a different age. Why they'd go to the forest? Away from the activity, we could say worldly affairs. Out in the forest, there's nothing. You live in your nature, you're forced to be simple, depend on Krishna, develop, become fearless, and depend on Krishna. Right now, I'm sure in some forest you could still get signal, plug into somewhere, SOS. Now we have concrete jungles. Any comments? Anita Prabhu? Comment? Anything?
In Satya Yuga, pretty much, it seems that people lived a very sattvic lifestyle in, almost in a rural
setting.
So they're already in the forest.
Yeah, like Prabhupada here in the purport says, that those who are speaks about those who in the those who claim to be sannyasis. There's some persons who claim themselves as sannyasis, but they can't free themselves from the four principles which Prabhupada has introduced to us as our standard practice, the four regulative principles. So once you can do that, which naturally control your senses, we can go out and preach, etc. And also in this, I think it was some lectures I was listening to by His Holiness Devamita Swami when he was speaking on this section, Devahuta and Kadama Muni, how in this period, in this time, as Anupu was mentioning, it was natural for people to perform austerity. You had mystic yogis all over the place. They had all these opulences. It didn't go to their head because, as Prabhu was saying, people were accustomed to a sattvic life. People's consciousness was was higher than what it is now. So for them having the mystic opulence of floating or whatever, it was normal. That's why it didn't go to their head. Nowadays, if someone bends a spoon with their eye, it's like, wow, it's God. But back then it was like, oh, mystic potency. It was nothing flashy because it was kind of like a natural tendency, nature. It was such at that time persons were advanced in their consciousness and they could easily take up these austerities. But now, when you have one tiny ability, it's broadcasted and persons cannot handle that opulence, even if it's a bona fide one. It was normal in those days. Okay. Thank you very much for your attention. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.